This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hi, I'm Hiro Goto. And you are listening to the New Japan Broadcast.
All right, everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. At the time that we are recording this, it is Saturday evening, December 10th, and on today's show, we are going to be reviewing this morning's World Tag League Finals. We saw a very good main event out of that. We're going to be talking about all of the implications leading up to Wrestle Kingdom 11, January 4th. And Damon's going to give us a little Ring of Honor report. So, Damon, what's going on today?
Well, it's a busy day as always for me, Colin. We usually record this fine podcast on a Sunday, but schedules again, it's the holiday season, so that means I'm busy as balls, and I ruin everyone's lives by my awful schedule. So we're going to record this on a Saturday night. We're going to spend Saturday night together here, Colin. How romantic. So,
hey, I wouldn't have it any other way.
I'm sure you wouldn't. Me on the other hand. No, I'm just kidding, of course. So we're going to talk a little New Japan Pro Wrestling. That's what we do here on this show. We got lots to talk about coming out of this World Tag League. And I think, I don't want to speak for you, Colin, but I think this show was good. It wasn't the greatest show on earth, but it was a solid show. And I think the World Tag League as a whole was decent as World Tag Leagues go. And again, I think the most important things isn't necessarily the show itself, but it's those little nuggets and those little pieces, little morsels that lead us into January 4th.
Well, you know what? Let's start right off with this. When I
We're going right into it. My God.
We are going right into it. And let me just say, when I found out that GBH were the winners of the B block, I think that you and I both let out a collective groan. Because
groan? I dumped gasoline on myself and lit myself on fire.
Because we were both hoping for that Goto and Ishii versus G.O.D. match.
Yeah.
And look, my excitement level and my interest level for this final for the World Tag League was, to say that it was zero would be an understatement. I think I even tweeted out that this was a very uninspired choice for a final, to say the least. However, with that being said, and we were discussing this off air a little bit before we hit that record button, I thought that this was an excellent main event, to the point of, if I was going to throw some snowflakes at this, I would give it 4 stars. I really enjoyed this main event. I'm not pumped that GBH is the World Tag League winner for the second year in a row, and I'm not really excited to see a rematch, but all things considered, I thought that it was a really good main event.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna agree with a lot of what you said, because I felt exactly the same way as you. I was really jazzed with the idea of Goto and Ishii, and obviously that didn't happen. And it kind of felt like I almost took it personally, in the sense of why does Ghetto hate us? And why does he specifically hate the tag division?
I think because he listens to this podcast.
I think
and,
so.
And he hears us bad-mouthing it, and he's like, I'll show those fuckers.
Yeah, you think it's bad now? Wait till you see this, fuck faces. you look at the history of the IWGP Tag Team Championship, especially in the past 3 or 4 years. And boy, it feels like he just loves to shove his fist in our asses, doesn't he? It's just like, I mean, some of the tag teams, like if you Wikipedia this, just to refresh your memory and everyone's memory of just some of the total horseshit that we've had in this tag division over the years. Again, your Gallows and Andersons. GBH, for all of us loving Honma and all of us being lukewarm toward Makabe, it was some spark and excitement, and we all got the rug pulled out from under us on that. And I don't even think they're a great tag team, to be truthful. Like, to me, they're on the higher side of average. But then you look through, you know, your Tenkozies, your Dudleys, your Team 3Ds, Matt Taven and Michael Bennett. And we all know why they were there. It began with Maria and ended in Canales. So anyway, you had that. Just a lot of garbage. Just a lot of it kind of goes along with New Japan's, I don't want to say obsession, but their fascination with like mid-card WWE geek. they loved it to shit on the tag divisions, and they love that mid-card average dry as toast WWE mid-card geek. That's really been a lot of New Japan in the past 5 to 10 years.
You know, when you mentioned earlier about Makabe being kind of lukewarm, and in my opinion, in 2016 at least, Honma being kind of lukewarm, This was one of those matches where when the time comes for those two to really step up to the plate, and Makabe in particular, because you sometimes forget that Togi Makabe is a great wrestler. And this was one of those matches where it was a reminder of just how good Makabe can be and how good Honma can be. And for what it's worth, I thought, and I know that we've been saying this quite a bit, this was one of the best G.O.D. matches that I've ever seen during their tenure here in New Japan.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Here's the thing, though. The match itself, and I know we'll dive deeper into the pool on this, the match itself started out in exactly the way that I really hate pro wrestling matches starting out, with the brawls in the crowd and that, you know, that headlock, I'll drag you through the crowd thing. It really drives me. It might bother me more than Mist at this point. Like, I just hate
it. Oh, we're going to talk about Mist. Don't you worry.
You know what, though? I was watching, what was I watching the other day? And it was Muda against Bob Sapp. Muda against Bob Sapp.
What inspired you to watch that, number one?
I have it somewhere in my house on DVD, but Eric uploaded it to the Real Hero archive. Yeah. He uploaded that show. No, it wasn't that show. It was a Wrestle 1 show. It was a Wrestle 1 Dome show, but they showed highlights of that match of Muda against Bob Sapp. And first of all, Bob Sapp was a beast back then. Bob Sapp was, Colin, I don't know if you know about this Bob Sapp. He was legit, like, super mainstream over in Japan.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, it was crazy how over this guy was. I mean, dare I say, it was like, who would I give you, like,
Lesnar-esque?
No, bigger. Oh, bigger. Like he was a mainstream star. Like, he was in commercials and like talk shows, and he was a superstar. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, who – and here's the thing, too. It wasn't like it lasted long. Like, he was just so red hot. He was that shining star, that meteorite that was just so red hot for just a small moment in time and then fizzled out. They called him the Beast, Colin. And he was a monster, just muscles on muscle, just an athlete. He very much cut of the same mold for people who aren't familiar with Bob Sapp. Think, what's his name now? What the fuck? Apollo Crews, is it?
Yes, Apollo Crews in WWE.
Yeah.
UHA Nation.
Yeah, so think that, but even more muscular and bigger. But very athletic like that. Like, he could do it. He could throw a drop kick. He wasn't hitting, shooting star presses, mind you. But, doing shit that he shouldn't be doing at that size. Anyway, long and short of it is, missed right in front of the referee. And this was like 2001. So it's like, it's just, I got to get over the missed because it happens forever.
It ain't going anywhere anytime soon.
No, and it ain't going away anytime soon. It just, you know what? I just got to consider it. It's like the Japanese armbar at this point.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mist is just a transition move at this point.
It's par for the course.
It exactly is. So there's that. What was I talking about, Colin? What was the original point?
We're talking about this main event here.
Yeah. So Makabe or Makabe, however you want to pronounce it. He's a good wrestler. It's hard for me to put him in the great category. I think he's a good wrestler. I like Honma a lot. G.O.D. Look, I think the biggest challenge that I have with G.O.D., Colin, is where they are in the card, right? I think it's the fact that they're the tag champions and people are talking about how they're improving. Right, that drives me a little bit crazy. Like, if they were just on the third match of the show and they were improving, it would be easier for me to swallow. These are your fucking tag champions that we're talking about. Like, they're really finding themselves in the ring and they're really coming along and this is their best match so far. Yeah, this was a good match, and again, the Ishii and Yoshihashi match that we talk about a lot, that was a good match, too. I thought that one was better than this one. Those are two good matches. I can't take that away from them.
One of the things that I think really helped this match was there were a lot of smoke and mirrors in here, and I think that there needed to be in order for this to work.
Well, yeah, and again, that kind of led to the brawling in the beginning. Like, that brawling spot to me is... we need to shave off 5 minutes off a match, right? that's like – that just shaves a good chunk of time off of a match where then they can concentrate on delivering the good stuff. Like, if they had to take that same amount of time in the ring, I think people would just be like, hands in their head, or head in their hands rather.
Right, and that's actually why I liked how this match started off with the brawling on the outside. I really didn't want to see them, like you said, grab a headlock.
Wrestling.
Right. And I like how Tama Tonga and Honma were on the ramp, and Honma got, busted open on his forehead pretty early into the match. I like how it started out kind of rough and rowdy to set the tone for the rest of the match going forward.
Yeah. I think that was a smart move on their part, but you're right. It was smoke and mirrors because, again, I think they're limited in what they can do in the ring, right? And to ask them to go out there and give you 15, 20 minutes in a main event of a show, I think that's a struggle. So they had it's kind of like the old, ECW Paul E analogy where, he was able to spotlight the strengths of wrestlers and really hide their weaknesses. So I think whoever put together this match was very smart in that they did do that for a purpose. Now, could a savvy pro wrestling fan see through that and be like, okay, this is why we're doing what we're doing? Yeah, I think so. But you know, I was going to say, you know, truth be told, is there a lot of people that are savvy watching pro wrestling? Okay, well, maybe not in general, but I think people like North American fans and Western fans, you know, I throw in everybody into that Western pile that's not Japanese. If you're watching New Japan, I think you're kind of savvy. You're savvy enough to find New Japan. Let's put it that way.
Right. If you can sign up for NJPWWorld.com, then chances are you're a pretty hardcore pro wrestling fan.
Yeah, you're not a casual. You're not a casual dropping, you know, trying to jump through hoops to get your credit card to work on NJPW World. So yeah, I think they can see through that. So in a one sense, Con, I agree. Like I hate being negative. It's really not in my personality.
Here we go, negative Damon. You know what? You know what's funny? Just to kind of change course for one second, one of our listeners on Twitter actually made comment about how much more they enjoyed the peaceful, toned down Damon during our episode when you were in Australia.
Really?
Yeah. And I said, you know what? Maybe we ought to get him to move to Australia, and that way he can be kind of, you know, tranquilo.
That's called sleepiness. A good listener.
Well, in that case, we're going to record this thing bright and early from now
literally,
on.
So the Bali show, I get woken up by a text from Colin, and it just says, okay, I'm ready to record. You know, I'll be on in 5 minutes. And I'm like, fuck. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning. I messed up something on the time difference. So, you know, everybody's asleep. My wife's half asleep. She's trying to sleep. I'm recording in the room. So I'm like, yeah, it was a good show there, Colin. I'm trying not to wake up the whole entire house. Anyway, I don't want to be the negative Ned.
But,
listen, GOD's not that good. So, you know, again, everybody telling me and even us telling you that, you know, oh, they're improving. They're going from complete and utter dog shit to, you know, you're not wanting to light yourself on fire watching the match. Right?
And I didn't.
No, and I didn't either. Which is again, it's hard for me to get past their look. Tongaloa really drags this team down, I think.
He's getting better.
Okay. All right.
He's the silverback, Damon.
The what?
He is the silverback Tongaloa. That's what they're calling him now.
What does that mean?
Like a silverback gorilla? You're not familiar with that breed of gorilla?
No, I gotta read up on my gorillas. What would that be? Not the botany. What would it be? Who knows?
Biology?
No, I don't. I know nothing about a gorilla. Silverback gorilla, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Listen, I'm not doubting it. Silly.
No, it's really not.
No?
No.
Are silverback gorillas...
Silverback gorillas, let me tell you.
They are
one of the most fiercest breed of gorillas.
Know what my favorite kind of gorilla is?
What's that?
The pro wrestling gorilla. They're fucking great. They're only in Southern California.
They really are.
In a little one VFW hall.
Yep, in a little rec hall. And yeah, you can only get their shows on DVD by mail.
Well, you can only watch the gorilla on DVD. Yeah, you can only watch them there. And they sell out very quickly. Yeah. And you can drink beer there, but only with pitchers, apparently. You've seen.
Yeah, I was just watching Bola recently.
Right. Everybody's got the pitchers of beer. Like they drink, they give them a pitcher of beer.
You know what? As I was watching that, and I know we're all over the place here, but
we are. That's who we are.
As I was watching the latest Bola, I was thinking to myself, you know what? Even if I could get tickets to one of these, I don't think I'd go because it looks like the most uncomfortable thing ever.
Yeah, they shoehorn everybody in, so everybody's shoulder to shoulder, and it's 750. It's like the sun, right? It's in this building that's like, you know, like a coal oven.
It looks like hell. Imagine being in hell while there's amazing pro wrestling matches going on in front of you.
That is hell. that's look it up in the Bible. It's there. Dave Meltzer's in hell.
Yep.
I mean, you're shoulder to shoulder with a sweaty Dave, his big arms, his big popping out of his veins, big muscular Dave sweating all over you.
With his abs better than Johnny Mundo.
Right, right, right. Well, actually, you know what? This sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm in.
Could this be heaven or could this be hell? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it's just some kind of state of purgatory.
Yeah, some sort of a limbo.
Yeah. I don't think. Like, first of all, you can't get tickets. It's like fucking impossible. Like, just there's only what is it? At the most, 150, 200 seats.
I guess.
And by seats, I mean you're standing for 5 hours. I don't know. I mean, I love my pro wrestling, but I also like my comfort too.
I also like my couch.
Right, me too. Trust me, Cork and Hall is about as far as I go for uncomfortability. And you know, we're squeezed in that joint. Like 2300 Arena. We always get like general admission, and there's always seats in the back. We just chill out in the back, unless we have front row. But even front row, I mean, they just squeeze people in. I hate when people touch me. like sitting next. I just fucking hate it. Like, I just, ugh. Fucking get off me. All right, enough. Let's talk pro wrestling, Colin.
I had mentioned that Tongaloa is now known as the Silverback. But getting back to this main event here, yeah, I know what you're saying. The Gorillas of Destiny, we shouldn't be talking. they shouldn't be the IWGP Tag Team Champions. And we're talking about how they're improving and we're seeing this steady growth.
Right.
But look, here's the bottom line. They are the champions. We're going to see. Looks like we're going to see GBH versus the GOD again.
That sucks. That sucks to me.
At Wrestle Kingdom 11. Not looking forward to that. But when all is said and done, this was a good main event. GBH actually becomes the first team in New Japan history to win World Tag Leagues back-to-back. So a little bit of history made earlier this morning.
How shocked were you with that? Like I was completely blown away that they would that New Japan would do that.
Honestly, I was hoping that GOD would win and then they would pick who they want to defend against.
Right, and then they would pick who?
I don't know.
Ishii. I mean, like they get like to me that's like okay. I don't like if I'm like if I won the tag tournament right, and I could pick my opponent, I'd be like. Bone Soldier and
right, you'd pick a bunch of
Chase
schmucks.
Owens. Right, I would just pick two schmoes, and then you know that would be the logical thing. So I didn't know what they were going to do with that. To be quite frank, but yeah, when you're I didn't see the show live, and you're reading stuff online, and you're like, are you gotta be fucking kidding me? Like why? Like they had something that was so easy and simple. Like I don't know why wouldn't they do that? Like, what does this company have against Ishii, by the way? Like, what is the fucking problem with giving this guy some help here?
Ishii, remember, he didn't even get his rematch.
That's
after
another thing.
Defeating Okada clean 1-2-3 in one of the best matches of the year.
Right. Wouldn't you, like, after that match, wouldn't you think, oh my God, this is gold? Like, we gotta find an arena. And book this thing too sweet. And he's a guy right now that literally is in purgatory. We talked about
he's got nothing to do at the Dome.
Nothing to do. How does a guy like him, who arguably, there's a case to be made that he is your most he's a wrestler who had the best year in ring, right, in your company. In a company that is absolutely, you got more great wrestlers than you know what the fuck to do with, right? You got to send your great wrestlers to goddamn Noah, right? Because you don't have a room for them. How does he not fit in? How does he not fucking, how do you not have a spot for that guy? That boggles my mind right now. Like, unless they got something up their sleeves, and unless there's something that we don't know about, or at least I don't know about right now, I find it mind-boggling that as we sit here right now on the 10th of December, you know, less than a month away from the biggest show of the year, that this guy literally has nothing going on.
Damon, did you know that Ishii is one of the five nominees for Wrestler of the Year in the second annual PuroCast End of Year Awards, which, by the way, got to get your votes in by Thursday, December 15th, 12 a.m. Eastern Time. Did you know that?
I did, but you got to give me the fucking password.
Like, I don't know what the password is.
You don't know what it is?
I might have to reset it, to be honest with you.
I haven't taken a look yet. I know I got to start counting these things. So yeah, I mean, do what you got to do. But yes, he is. He's one of the five. He had
a tremendous year.
Just a fantastic year. Even if he's the fifth of the New Japan guys, you know, even if he's number five in the Wrestler of the Year category, even if he's number five, I would put that number five against just about anybody else's company, you know, their top guys. And I'm telling you, Ishii had a better year in ring. He's just had an amazing year. But here's the thing too, Colin. I mean, we talk about Ishii. There's a lot of guys, as we sit here right now, that are literally with the thumbs in their ass. Will Ospreay.
Yeah, what is Will Ospreay going to do? Because my idea was that he was going to challenge for the ROH title, but that's probably going to be Adam Cole, baby.
It is Adam Cole, baby. Yeah. I mean, that's a definite. That's O'Reilly and Adam Cole. So just as a sneak peek for a little ROH talk. So we went to the show and he was there. Very cool guy. Very accommodating to the fans. I think it was Mackie. I think it was our good friend Mackie who posed a question to him. Like, you know, what do you got going on in Wrestle Kingdom? And he's like, no, I think Mackie asked it in a way like, are you in a six man? And he was like, yeah. He's in a six man. He's in a fucking. Now listen,
wait, Adam Cole,
huh?
Wait,
no, Ospreay.
Oh, Ospreay. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Adam Cole.
No. Well, it's Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, ROH title at the Dome. That's right. That match is happening. But no, in talking with Ospreay, nobody was talking with Adam Cole. so, you know, in talking with Ospreay, it was seems like it's a six man. You know, as it stood last weekend.
How could you go from winning the Best of the Super Juniors tournament, debuting, challenging Kushida for the IWGP Junior title, becoming a member of Chaos, to being on a six-man throwaway tag match on the biggest show of the year? How does that happen?
The only thing I can think of, Colin, is maybe they just don't want to commit to a guy who is not I don't want to say not committed to the company, but, you know, hasn't signed a long-term deal or at least a year deal, you know. I don't know what kind of agreement he originally signed, and you know, if it was a
– I was under the impression that it was a two-year contract.
I didn't ask him, and I heard so many different stories with what his deal is. I can't answer that right now. Like,
does he have a 401k? Do you know that?
I doubt it. Not with New Japan, that's for sure. So I don't know. I don't know if that's the case where they're just afraid to commit to him. There's got to be something because here's that meteor analogy, but he came on super red hot and it really is fizzled. But he's one guy. I mean, what about Elgin?
Elgin. I mean, I was reading up a bit about his surgery, and apparently what they do is they take some of his hip bone and place that in the orbital region. I'm trying to talk like I'm a doctor here.
I know, really. Dr. Miller. Yeah, but I think the challenge was his hip. I think it was the hip that got messed up.
Like, yeah, when he was working out.
Yeah, it got infected and shit. And, you know, but he should be ready to rock and roll come Wrestle Kingdom. But you know what's he going to be doing? What about Fale? Well, I mean, listen, to me, Fale is an important character here in New Japan Pro Wrestling, right? I think he. you know, I think he would have some type of spot, right?
What about Evil and Sonata and Bushi?
Yeah, I mean, the speculation is that they're the ones that are going to be challenging for the Never Six Man,
which is what I think they should do, actually.
Yeah, I mean that's fine, but you know, there just seems like there's like a laundry list. And what about Suzuki? If it's, you know, in fact they're coming back, right?
Right.
You know, you got them and KES possibly.
Yeah, that's
right.
Archer and Davey Boy. You know, maybe they could liven up the heavyweight tag division a little bit.
But that's saying something because, you know, they left because they were super stale. I mean, they were shipped off to NOAH because, you know, they really didn't have anything to do for them anymore.
Shipped off on an arc to NOAH.
Yeah, well, I get it. Remember that Hooters song? Do you remember the Hooters?
I remember the Hooters, but I don't know what song you're referring to.
All You Zombies. It was all about NOAH and the Pharaohs and Google it.
Wait,
kid.
The Pharaohs?
Yeah, it was like the Egyptian. Like it was about
That's Moses.
Well, what are we talking about? Moses and his ark, right?
Noah had the ark, you dope.
Oh, right. That's right.
Moses freed the Israelites. What the heck?
That's what they sung in the song.
You've got to study your Old Testament, my friend.
I know. Anyway. I should read the Bible but just to save my soul, for crying out loud.
Well, yeah, number one.
Well, that's right. yeah, all right. But getting back to our original point here, how about Yuji Nagata? He's got nothing going on, right?
Yeah, Yuji Nagata, like a guy who is in the unsung hero category, who had a very underrated year, had a lot of great matches, was the never openweight champion, defeated Katsuyori Shibata. They had a bunch of great matches together. Right, like, is he going to be in the New Japan Rumble? There's a lot of unanswered questions about where all of this talent is going to fit in on the Dome show. And you know what? I think that we should start reviewing this World Tag League final show, and we'll kind of try and put in the puzzle pieces as we go through the matches on the show as to where everybody is going to fit in. That sound good?
That sounds good, Noah. Let's do it.
All right, Moses. So the World Tag League.
I can't believe I fucking confused those two.
That's amazing.
I'm a terrible Christian.
That's a PuroCast moment right there.
It really is.
Let me tell you.
That really is.
That's right up there with 4.25 stars.
Moses, he built the ark.
He loaded all the Israelites onto the ark.
That's right.
That's how they got away.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
I'm
all right.
Such a dope. Why do you people listen to this fucking show? I'm a dope.
Hey, listen, we have listeners. We got a very nice message from a cool guy in Pakistan who voted in the awards. He had some very kind words to say to us, and we really appreciate all that. So lots of listeners from all over the world. We thank you guys for tuning in each and every week to hear Damon and I, our inane ramblings. But yeah. Next week,
we're going to start a podcast that's going to be all about Bible talk.
Bible talk with Damon and Colin.
It's going to be great. Adam and what's her name?
All right, Eva Marie?
Eva Marie. all right, let's go. World Tag League. Here
yeah, so this World Tag League final show took place at the Super Arena in Miyagi in front of an audience of 3,352 spectators, according to our good friends at PuroWrestlingSpirit.net, a very good resource.
That's not a good crowd for – that's a big building, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that like a 5,000 to 8,000 seater, isn't it?
It is called the Super Arena, so one would think.
I think it's a bigger building than it. And here's the thing too with this, that they did the old Bill Watts gimmick where they just had the spotlight over top the ring and everything else was pretty dark, wasn't it?
It was. now that you mention it, the audience was very dark.
Yeah. Here's the thing too, though. I did kind of look, you know, in the rampway. It didn't look like there were a lot of empty seats there. It might have been the upper levels, though, that were pretty empty. That's not good. I wonder what that building holds. I know there's a lot of people that are into gates and numbers and all that shit. But on the surface, and like I said, I could be dead wrong. I thought that building was a 5,000 to 8,000 seater. And you're telling me, what's the number
3,352 in attendance.
Ooh, boy. Yeah, that might not be a good number. I'll have to double check that. But that's I don't think that's a good number, Colin.
Well, nevertheless, let's kick it off with the first match here, which was a tag match featuring the team of Jushin Thunder Liger and Tiger Mask taking on Ryusuke Taguchi and David Finlay. I thought that this was a fine short opener, and how about Liger giving David Finlay the rub?
Yeah, that's a big win for David Finlay, and it was cool, kind of cool the way that he sold the win, so to speak. You know, he was... It's a big win for him. That's a nice little pickup, you know, getting a win over. Liger's been doing. He's been lying down to everybody. It seems like in the past 3 weeks. Here's the one thing I kept thinking of, and again, it's a little self-serving on my part, but we're talking about Liger here. How, and you know what? Just at wrestlers in general, how the fuck do they get over the jet lag?
Yeah, like, how did I think about that a lot, too, because Liger, I mean, he was just in New York City and Philadelphia not too long ago.
Yeah, last weekend. This time last weekend.
Could you imagine if that was you, Damon, and you had to go out and perform?
Holy shit, I can't even... the jet lag has been absolutely fucking brutal this past week. Colin, you know what time I go to bed?
What time?
Like, literally, I'm going to bed because there's an anvil on my chest. And I don't mean Jim Neidhart. That would be hot and sexy, but that's not happening.
I'd prefer Natty, but...
Me too. Jim Neidhart's beard gets in the way. take a guess. Take a wild gander. What time Damon McDonald is going nappy new time?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. is correct.
Wow.
7 p.m. I'm on the couch literally... I'm out. And my wife's like, look, you got to push through because you're never going to beat, it's going to take you forever to beat the jet lag. I'm out. I'm like, it feels like there is an anvil on your chest. It's the only way I can describe it. So I'm out. And then so that means, okay, I'm asleep at 7. I'm waking up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what the fuck? It sucks.
By the way, not to interrupt your jet lag story, but I do have the capacity for the Super Arena in Miyagi.
Oh.
And it, according to Wikipedia, it is 7,063. Mm. So you were kind of close there.
That's half empty or half full, depending upon how you look at it.
Half full.
Okay. Half full still sucks. I don't care. The money that you get from that doesn't change. If you're a half full or half empty kind of guy. Anyway, Liger. Yeah. So, I liked this match. I saw somebody give it 3 stars. I don't know if I give it that high, but I thought it was good.
Fine opener.
Liger's so awesome though. Can I share a quick story? Liger story.
A Liger story is always welcome here on the Purocast, Damon.
Look, I don't know what it is, but this guy is one of the nicest guys in the entire world. Every time he sees me, he acts like I'm his lost cousin, and it's Christmas morning. He comes out, he loses his fucking mind when he sees me. Literally, I'll come up and hey, yeah, and then he'll look, you can see him kind of look, and then he's like, he points at me, and I'm like, yeah, tattoo. Like, I didn't know he's a tattoo guy, right? And he goes, ah, tattoo. And he throws his out and he runs around the table and he's hugging me and holding me. I'm like, hey, what's going on?
I bet you love that.
Oh, dude, I got to be honest with you. There's nothing better. There's fucking nothing better.
Nothing better than being cradled by Jushin Thunder Liger.
Just nuzzled in his horned head. And Eric is pissing his pants because Liger loses his mind. So he's sitting there talking, and we're taking like 900 pictures. We were sitting there in line for somebody else that was near the table, and he saw us. And yeah, we were just kind of joking back and forth. He comes around from the table again, and we just start taking pictures. We're doing selfies.
We're doing the duck face.
We're doing like the double peace sign. We're doing it all. We're like two buddies.
Two chums.
We're BFFs. We're tight. So, yeah, but every time he fucking – like, it takes him a second. You know, he sees a million people when he goes to these goddamn shows. But it takes him a second. He knows me. And then tattoo. And then it's boop, bum. And Kushida comes out, and he looks at the tattoo, and he laughs at me like I'm a – like
a dork.
Idiot. Yeah, an absolute wacko.
Does Jushin Liger know that you do a podcast on New Japan Pro Wrestling?
No. I don't think he knows that.
Wow.
Well, how do you fucking?
That would be the first thing I tell him.
Right. I don't know. I don't know. Eventually, he'll find out. So he comes over, and I was like, "All right, here's my chance. This is my loan opportunity." Well, maybe not my loan opportunity, but I wanted to start fucking planting the seed because I want something ring worn. Like, I just want fucking something that he's worn in the ring.
You mention that all the time.
I'm obsessed with it. Like, I'm fucking obsessed with it. But I don't give a shit what it is. I don't care if it's a shoelace. I just need fucking something, right? So I was like, hey. I said, like, it was the most awkward. I was like, hey, listen, I want to buy something that you're wearing.
Wow.
And it's something that got lost. And he kind of just looked at me like, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to buy something.
He's paging security.
Right. Like, I don't know how to transition into, I want to do that. So I don't know how it's going to happen, but I think he understood somewhat what I was asking for. But eventually I'm just going to eventually I'm just going to point at his fucking mask and just take out my wallet and be like, I want that for this. Fair? So that's my Liger story. So there you go. Good match. Dave Finley gets a big win. Tiger Mask did nothing. Taguchi did his ass shit. There you go.
Yep, there you have it. Liger giving David Finley the rub, and we move on to match two. Another tag match featuring the team of Manabu Nakanishi and Hanare taking on Bad Luck Fale and Yujiro Takahashi. Look, I don't have a whole lot to say about this. This is only a 4-minute match, but I will say that the best moment from this match was when Hanare and Nakanishi had Fale and Takahashi up on their backs in the rack position. That was a funny moment.
The moments before that, Colin, I'm watching this match, and again, I'm watching this show at the Flyers press box, so the game going on. So I'm watching, but I'm kind of keeping an eye on the game too. And at one point, I thought, man, the fucking internet here is really slow, because the match feels like it's like just how you can watch something in like half the speed, of the normal frame rate.
Right.
That's exactly what I felt like. Like, there was a moment where it was like Fale and Nakanishi were in the ring and they were moving at such a pace that I thought there was something wrong with the internet. Right. I can't, that's how slow they were working. This match was just fucking.
Like I said, nothing to talk about here except for that moment. And, Yujiro did bring out some lovely ladies with him. I thought that was a nice little.
I knew the one was right up your speed, right up your alley.
Oh yeah, you know which one too.
I know which one. I know the Colin Miller wheelhouse. I know that. The match was poop. And what do you think of Hanare?
Hanare, I think we've mentioned this before. He is a unique young lion. I like the fact that he has he just looks different from everyone else. He has a different kind of build. I can see him. I can see some interesting possibilities for him in the future.
Yeah. I think I'm in the same boat with you. Of all the youngsters that are. In that young lion world right now. I know. There's something about him that I dig. I hope we see big things. I hate when people start, giving you the old, oh, he'll be a star. Stop it. You don't know shit. Stop it. but there's something about him that I do enjoy. Let's put it that way. I like him. I think he's good. And you know what else is pretty cool? When you see, have you seen a lot of the monster morning breakfasts that Inari and Nakanishi have been sharing?
I did see a recent tweet from Nakanishi.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Listen, they were. They won one match. Did they win one match in this whole tournament? I think they won one. They may not have won any.
I don't think they won any.
Yeah. They're just a – I don't know. There's something about them I somewhat enjoyed. But Nakanishi, boy, oh, boy, he is just – he. It's like he's got cement shoes. He's just slow as molasses, but God
bless. It's
like
he's running through water.
It really is. He's like doing DDP yoga as he's as he's performing a match.
It's isometrics.
Yes, yes. It's like you're going through cement. It's like a fire hydrant.
Now flex your quads. Flex your glutes.
Flex your glutes. Let it go. Go down for a pinfall. Now hulk it up. All right.
Yujiro picking up the win for his team, getting the win over Hanare. No surprise there. And we move on to our next match, featuring the team of Yoshitatsu and Billy Gunn. Taking on Chase Owens and Bone Soldier. Damon, I've got to talk about this Billy Gunn character for a second.
Yeah, all right.
Now, Matt Sydal spent, what, like a month in prison in Japan for bringing in some marijuana? Now, if you take a look at Billy Gunn, this guy, on November 1st, he turned 53 years old. Have you ever seen a 53? How many 53-year-old men do you see walking around on a daily basis?
I'll tell you, buddy. I'll tell you one guy. I tore my fucking quad the other night.
So while Matt Sydal's in jail, Billy Gunn's just walking around. Like, you know, everything's cool with that.
Listen, you got. I hear what you're insinuating.
Do you? Look. My God, he is massive.
He's a big 51-year-old. Yeah.
53.
What's that?
He's 53.
53?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, according to everything I know about, you know, science and such and getting old, I think you start losing body mass when you get into your 50s, but yeah, he found the magical formula to somehow get much bigger than he's ever been before in his entire life.
He's as big as Brock Lesnar.
But the thing about it was like he was, that's like, in the matches, he was like the power guy. Like he was like this. They would hit shoulder blocks and you're bouncing off a Billy Gunn. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, okay, it's the same Billy Gunn. Boy, oh boy, Colin. What a mix mash. Like, you know how we have in the pure cast awards, Colin, we have our least favorite wrestler,
yes,
right? So the listeners can, vote for the one wrestler that they feel is the worst. I'm going to change my vote. I'm going to just go put this match.
This match in general.
Yeah, I'm going to say my least favorite wrestler is Billy Gunn and Yoshitatsu versus Chase Owens and Bone Soldier. Because it really was a mixed match of everything that I hate about pro wrestling right now in one match.
Hey, well, look, we got to see Billy Gunn hit the Famaster.
We did. That
on the Bone Soldier.
And no one knew what it was, and no one cared.
I knew what it was.
Well, you knew what it was, but there was one guy in the crowd with a DX shirt at the end. You see that guy?
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
He was very happy.
That guy was stoked.
He was crotch chopping it all night long.
All right, next match, the team of War Machine, Raymond Rowan Hansen, taking on Brian Breaker and Leland Race. Look. This match, I wasn't looking forward to this match. However, it didn't turn out to be nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. I think that it really picked up towards the end. Can I talk about one of my biggest pet peeves in wrestling, though?
Okay, but it might be the same one I have. Go ahead.
It very well could be. I hate when a guy is getting ready to do a dive to the outside, right? You know, he's climbing up to the top rope.
Right.
And then everybody who's brawling on the outside just stops and they all huddle together and they just pause. Like, that to me is just screams like, all right, we have to get ready to catch this guy. Let's let everybody know, you know, like, let's just have let's have a sign that says this is predetermined. This is fake. Like, that's one of the fakest, phoniest bullshit moves. I hate that. I hate when they do that.
Well, yeah, your timing, the timing is a little off. You do see that.
God, they were huddled together for what seemed like 10 seconds getting ready for Hansen to do his senton to the outside.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it either. But yes, I'm in agreement with you. I was going to say just face paint in general. Like, I would be so happy to never see anybody paint their fucking face again. War Machine are a real cool tag team, and they have their own unique kind of look.
Absolutely.
They don't need the face paint. Like, you don't need the fucking face paint. Leave that shit away, because that just makes you look like
Guns and Gallows.
Yeah, right. It just makes you look like G.O.D. I liked is it Brian Breaker?
Yeah, Brian Breaker.
I liked him. I liked him during the tournament. I thought, he didn't really do too much to impress, but I don't know. There's something about him that like, I see him as a, you know, how I see him? I see him in cut from the same cloth as a Hanare.
Yeah, like, different look, different build, right?
Yeah, almost like a smaller, less experienced. Still a long way to go, but you see like little flashes of like Steve Williams. You see little flashes of even like a Rick Steiner, like just little things like that. Like he's going to be I hate when people start fucking prognosticating people's careers, but you can see little bits of that in him, and like I feel like he could be a good big man. You know what I mean? Like he could play that role pretty well. So, in a way, I was looking forward to this match just to see how he handled guys who are legit big men in War Machine. I think War Machine's got a great future, man. I think War Machine would fit in they would fit a nice role in this tag division.
There's another team. Could you imagine War Machine versus the Killer Elite Squad?
Yeah, I mean, I think. Well, I mean, they feuded. In Noah, yeah. If you remember back, I think it was 2 years ago at the Brooklyn show, where they beat KES, right, at the outdoor show, and then that earned them title shots in Noah. And everybody was kind of shocked that War Machine won that match and obviously set up that future.
Well, let's see more of that. Some more War Machine versus KES in the future. Please get it.
I'd be happy with that. I would be very happy with that. I think, you know, if we were going to do a report card, and we're not, but if we were going to do a report card on people and teams in this World Tag League, I would put War Machine near the top of the list. I would give them high marks. I think they coming out of this tag league, they are one team that I think opened the eyes of a lot of New Japan fans that may have missed the boat on them before. And I think that they've earned a shot, you know, with the company on another tour. I would love to say it.
All right. Next match was a 6-man tag featuring the team of Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojima, and Yuji Nagata taking on Sanada, Evil, and Bushi. I thought this match was okay. We saw Evil pick up the win, hitting his finish on Kojima. Okay, now we were talking earlier about how we probably think that LIJ, Sonata, Evil, and Bushi are going to be challenging for those Never Trios titles. However, we've got Tenzan, we've got Kojima, and most importantly, I think, we've got Yuji Nagata.
Yeah.
Now, Kojima is still 1/3 of the trios champions, right?
Right. Yes. As far as I'm aware of, yes.
So there's probably a place for him, but where are we going to put the likes of Tenzan and Yuji Nagata on the dome card?
They're fucking, I hate to say it, the poor guy, third year in a row. I think they got to be in the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Yeah, the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Pre-show.
Right? Yeah. I mean, they gotta be in that, right? Where else are you going to put them? The show is going to be 17 hours long, for Christ's sake. That's where they are. I can't think of any other place. Now, I think it's significant that the guy who took the pinfall and got the mist and literally got everything thrown at him at the kitchen sink was Kojima, who is, one third of the six-man champions.
That's right.
So I think that's a significant. That's something that, when you look at these matches, who's taking the pinfalls, who's getting the pinfalls, I think that's significant.
Very good point.
And again, that kind of leads to the fact that we're going to see Los Ingobernables challenge for those never six-man belts. So I think that kind of dots the I's and crosses the T's for that at the Dome. Match itself was...
It was okay.
Yeah, I'll give it the old average. I'll give it the old C+. Before intermission six-man tag on a show that everyone, you're just sitting to get to that main event. So,
by the way, do you know who Kojima looked like when he got that mist spit in his face?
The Hulk?
No, actually, because it was like a black inky mist, and I thought that he looked like, remember the scene in Jurassic Park when the dinosaur spits the ink in Newman's face? Yeah. In the car? That's all I could think of.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now that you mention it, it was very similar. Colin with the 80s Jurassic Park reference. Nice
80s?
One. Isn't it the 80s, late 80s, right?
No, God, that movie was 1993, Damon.
Really?
Yes.
Time flies when you're having fun.
I'm not surprised.
And you do a lot of drugs. I kind of missed a couple of years in the 90s.
You thought
there.
That Noah led the Israelites out of Exodus. So
well, that was in 91, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah, I was whacked out of my mind back then.
Jesus.
Right. Yeah, listen. I led a hard life.
All right, so before intermission, we had our big reveal of the newest member of the Bullet Club. Now, before we start talking about Cody Rhodes, we knew that he was going to be the newest member of the Bullet Club. And before we discuss, if he has a place in New Japan, I just want to say one thing about the vignette that they showed in particular. Man, that was a damn good vignette. That was well produced. That was the cinematography. I thought that was excellent.
If anything, it made me want to take up cigar smoking.
Yeah.
Very, very glamorous. It was good. It was fine. Do you want to get into Cody Rhodes now?
Let's get into Cody Rhodes now while he is on our mind. Look, I asked you the other day, how do you... Well, I asked you last week on this podcast, how do you feel about Cody Rhodes, being in New Japan Pro Wrestling? And, you kind of said... You kind of put the kibosh on that.
I believe my exact quote was, I don't give a fuck.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. If you take a look at who's in the Bullet Club, you got your Chase Owens and your Hangman Page and your, who else? Who else do
Adam
you have?
Adam Cole.
Yeah, Adam Cole. Who else, though, that was in the ring?
Takahashi.
Yeah, you got your Takahashi.
You want to know who's in the ring? Fale.
Yeah, but anyway, you get my point. If Hangman Page and Tonga Loa and Chase Owens can be in the Bullet Club, then why not Cody Rhodes? Because out of the three of them that I just mentioned, he's arguably the most talented.
I'm going to be brutally honest.
Be brutally honest. Be frank.
I don't see the Cody Rhodes love. I am not a fan.
I don't either.
I defy anyone to name me a great Cody Rhodes match. Just give me a great Cody Rhodes match.
I can name you some solid Cody Rhodes matches.
Really?
I remember he had a good match against Mysterio at Mania. I remember that. That's probably the one standout match that he had.
Okay, so on a scale of one, or worth star, whatever you want to do, where are you putting that match?
Well, I think
a five.
Five stars.
No, I mean, well, scale of 1 to 10.
Scale of 1 to 10. Yeah, scale of 1 to 10. Well, yeah, I mean, a 5 or a 6.
Okay, right. So, 3.5. It wasn't 4, right?
No, it wasn't 4. Okay. Well, here's the thing. Cody Rhodes, he's not, and we've talked about this privately, he's not a, I don't think anyone is ever going to accuse him of being this amazing worker, but he's the type of wrestler who you would say, yeah, he's a solid hand. He's a good hand in the ring. You know, he can work, he can wrestle. But as far as having blow-away matches, you're right. I can't name any blow-away amazing Cody Rhodes matches. Now, if you put him in the ring against, I don't know, let's say Katsuyori Shibata, I don't think that's going to happen. But
no. I just think that the styles are, unless it's 15 minutes of Cody Rhodes getting kicked in the face, I got no interest in it. Like, he just, that style, it just doesn't mesh well. I think, so before this show, everyone kind of pigeonholed, and I know Meltzer was yapping about it, him against Shibata at the Dome.
Meltzer was talking about it like it was a done deal.
Okay, and I was saying from the jump, and I remember telling you, I don't think it's a done deal. I said I don't think it is. Everything that I'm hearing is that it's not a done deal. That's not the match, at least at the Dome. But I didn't know who Shibata was going against. And truth be told, from what I was gathering, it was going to be Suzuki. That's where I thought that was going. No. I'm going to be truthful. I don't have any interest in seeing Cody Rhodes in the ring with Shibata. Zero. I just think that is a complete waste of Shibata.
That's a match that maybe, you know, if Shibata was in the States for a Ring of Honor show, you know, maybe you can put him against Cody Rhodes on an ROH TV taping, that sort of deal.
I don't know what it is with this fascination with, again, I said it earlier in the show, what is this fascination with middle of the road, vanilla, in some cases, bland as toast, mid-card WWE geeks? Like, what is the fascination with that, with this company in the past 5 to 10 years?
Well, let me ask you this. Who would you know, gun to your head, you have to pick one. The newest member of the Bullet Club, Cody Rhodes or Ryback?
Phew.
Otherwise known as The Ryback.
Not to be confused with a Ryback.
Right.
Or a gorilla Silverback.
Yeah, Silverback.
Cody Rhodes.
Right. Exactly. You would pick Cody Rhodes because, like I said, he's a good hand. He's a decent worker.
But
does it even matter at this point, you know, who's in the Bullet Club and who isn't?
No, I don't care if he's in the Bullet Club. I'll be truthful there. I don't, I don't give a shit about the Bullet Club. To me, the Bullet Club is, I mean, honestly, like if you're one of those people that are still hanging on to the Bullet Club and you're still wearing your Bullet Club t-shirt to shows and you're rocking your black and white like, are you excited at the idea? Be honest.
Damon, what part of For Life don't you understand?
In my marriage vows. You can't be excited for this. Seriously, if you're still hanging on to the Bullet Club thing, right? You took some punches, right? Your Hangman Pages. Again, I'm not an Adam Cole guy, but there are plenty of Adam Cole people out there. And I get, like, to me, Adam Cole and Cody Rhodes,
Are they cut from the same cloth?
They really are, aren't they?
I think I would place Adam Cole on a little bit of a higher pedestal than Cody Rhodes, but that's just my opinion.
All right. I kind of see them in the same mold.
I get what you're saying. Similar working style.
Similar working style. Just similar where they are in the pro wrestling scheme of things. I had someone tell me, well, you know, when AJ Styles showed up, nobody knew who the fuck he was. And look at what he was able to accomplish.
That's laughable for a couple of reasons. But
well, exactly. I'm like, are you sitting here telling me that you're comparing Cody Rhodes to AJ Styles? like on a like even before his New Japan run, I'll take Cody Rhodes' best match, and I'll take AJ Styles. I'm mailing it in, right? And over, I'll take his mailing it in over Cody Rhodes' best match any day of the fucking week, any day of the week. And I'll be honest with you, at that Ring of Honor taping the other week, Cody Rhodes was there.
Yeah.
Like to me, he got, they call that the old X-Pac heat.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of, you know, I don't want to see you kind of heat. Not, oh, I don't like you heat. You're getting the good heel heat. He was getting the, oh, why the fuck are you here kind of heat. Like that's the heat I was kind of feeling. Maybe some of that was internal, right? And then I was projecting it. That's what it felt like to me. I've seen a few. I haven't seen everything. I've seen a few of his indie show run here. His checklist, so to speak.
I've seen his match against Sami Callihan from
Bola.
What'd
you think of it? I saw it too. What'd you think?
You know, it was an NXT match. I could have saw that on NXT on an episode of that.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to sit here and be like, I'm not impressed. But I'm not impressed, man. I gotta be truthful. I don't see it. I don't need it. I don't think it's a good fit. I think there are 1,000 other people I would rather see in that role. What about a guy like Chris Hero?
Yeah, how about Chris Hero?
What about a guy like fucking Chris Hero? You mean to tell me that would you take a Chris Hero over a Cody Rhodes?
Oh, is that even a question? I mean,
right,
just go watch that Chris Hero match that he had against Ishii from the Rev Pro show.
I mean, there's lots of guys I would take over Cody Rhodes, man. I think that's a big issue I have. There are lots of guys I would take over Cody Rhodes. I don't know. I just think it's, you know, he's got a WWE name. That's not going to help any houses. Seriously, is Cody Rhodes going to pop a house for New Japan? Is
no.
He? Of course he's not. I don't get it. I just don't understand it, man.
Well, he is going to be called the American Nightmare, Cody. And my only hope is that he comes out to Rob Zombie's the Great American Nightmare.
Howard Stern, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, now. That's my hope. Yeah, motherfucker.
That's it, yeah. Howard with the fucking distorted vocals. American Night, is that a playoff in the American Dream?
I think so. I think it is.
I think they're related, aren't they?
I believe so.
All right. Well, there you go. It's Cody Rhodes in the Bullet Club. Again, at the time, everybody was speculating that Cody Rhodes and Shibata at the Dome. That's a match I did not want to see, do not want to see. But, you know, not to give away spoilers as we move on in this show. Luckily for us, that may not be the case. So, but we did have a nice little vignette. We'll see some more of him.
I hope he brings his wife Brandy with him. That's
you like
my
the Brandy,
hope.
Huh?
I think Brandy is a gorgeous woman.
Yeah, I think.
Quite frankly, if I was Cody Rhodes, you got to figure he made some decent scratch while he was wrestling for WWE, right? I mean, he was there for a long time.
He was there a long time.
If
he put away some bucks, yeah.
If he was banking a lot of that money, you know, he's got his health, he's got a beautiful wife. I'd say to hell with this pro wrestling shit. I'm going to an island somewhere with my hot wife and just chilling.
Yeah, with Matt Sydal.
Yeah, with Matt Sydal.
Give Matt Sydal a call.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
These two dopes. I know.
Now you're talking.
All right.
Anyway, moving along here to our next match. We have the team of Katsuyori Shibata and Juice Robinson taking on Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi. And this leads us into what we were alluding to just moments ago.
I like this match a lot.
Yeah, I thought this was a very good match.
I thought this was a fun match, for lack of a better term. And again, pinfalls and who's getting pinfalls and who's doing what, once again playing a significant role as we look forward to Wrestle Kingdom. Goto getting the big win over Shibata, who is the Never Openweight Champion. Goto taking the belt, draping it over. It smelled to me like, Colin Miller, we got ourselves a Goto Shibata match to look forward to.
It does smell like that, and I have a few things to say about it.
Go ahead.
Okay, number one, I think it's going to be a great match.
Yes.
I have no doubt in my mind that it is going to be a very good match, to say the least. However, with that being said, I can think of many other opponents who I would like to see challenge Shibata for this Never Openweight title. And not only that, Damon, do you remember once upon a time when Hirooki Goto was Intercontinental Champion and he beat Shinsuke Nakamura twice in a row, clean, in the middle of the ring?
I was there for one of them.
Remember when he was in the finals of the G1 Climax tournament earlier this year?
Yes, slipped on a banana peel to get in, but I do remember it vividly.
Right. Like, he goes from beating one of the top four draws in the company, holding the second most important title in the company, and here's what I'm trying to say. Here's my point. Okay, so he wins the let's say that he beats Shibata at Wrestle Kingdom. He's the new Never Openweight Champion. All right. So what? Is that supposed to be his redeeming moment after struggling for a year and reaching for that brass ring and, you know, always coming so close but missing it at the end? Is that supposed to be what this is?
Well, I mean, look, it is the you know, if we're ranking titles, yeah, it's the third, but
that's his prize, the Never title. Didn't Yuji Nagata just hold this not too long ago?
All right, well, that's nothing to sneeze at. Look, I'm thrilled with the fact that, well, I'm not getting Cody Rhodes, right?
Agreed. So
I'm tickled pink with it. If I'm looking at it objectively, I know it's good. I know what you're saying. I know it's going to be a great match. It does feel a tinge like we've seen this before, but that's okay. Is this Goto's redemption, the Never title? I think it'll play a piece. It'll be a slice in that. I don't think it's the full tale nor the full story. But I mean, listen, I don't think there's a guarantee that Goto wins. I don't think it's a guarantee.
You know, that is a fair point. I can see them pulling the rug out from Goto's feet on the grandest stage of them all.
Yeah, listen,
happening.
We talk about Ishii not getting a fair shake. Talk about a guy getting fucked over. Goto's going to win this unsung gimmick, right? That we have. So
he has to.
I wouldn't be surprised. And again, a super talented wrestler. You know you're going to get a great match out of him. He just flies under the radar. He just doesn't have that extra something that puts him over the top. I don't think it's a guarantee he wins this title. Listen, I'm going to sit here and be truthful with you here too. I'm still a little unsure that it's going to be Goto at the Dome.
I was thinking that. They could put that on one of these Road 2 shows.
Yeah, they got that Cork and Hall show that's always super hot. They could fuck us all and put it on that. Right?
And then we could see Cody Rhodes interfere at the end.
Right. Horse shit finish. And then,
you hit the crossroads on Shibata, and then he'll hold the Never title over his limp body. It'll be great.
We suck at what it'll do.
The crowd will be wild.
You know, it's no, that's what they won't be. That's the whole point. Colin, to a person, I don't care if I go on the classic Japanese board. I don't care if I stumble across a tweet or two in my travels. Ain't nobody that's excited about Cody Rhodes, man. I mean, I haven't seen anybody excited about a Cody Rhodes Shibata match. I think everybody is somewhat relieved at the possibility that it is Goto. Like, that's really the feeling I get. Not that they're necessarily excited for Goto Shibata. It's more of a relief of, at least it's not fucking Cody Rhodes. But I think it's going to be a good – I'm again, nothing – there is this little bit inside of me that's like, oh, nothing's guaranteed yet. They better announce this. Now, they're announcing the full show. I think it's Monday in Tokyo when they're announcing it. So it would be our Sunday night.
Right. So at the time that you're listening to this, you could very well know the full Tokyo Dome card.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you're a Voices of Wrestling feed guy or gal, yeah, you might already know it. So that's going to be this week. So again, we only have to wait a couple a day or two for us, at most. We'll know it. And again, fingers crossed. Let's hope it's Goto and Cody Rhodes can sit in a six man and do that horseshit.
All righty. So moving up the card here. Next match, we have the team of Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kushida taking on Tetsuya Naito and Rush.
Rush! is this where I talk about the Israelites?
I think so.
Okay. Well, look, again, I think, once again, this is a perfect example of a match that the story of the match is not really the story of the match. It's the finish of the match and what happened there afterward. And, what happened afterward was the Israelite, Kama Itachi, or as we affectionately refer to him now as Takahashi, right?
Not to be confused with another Takahashi.
That's correct. We have many a Takahashi now in this.
This one's not a pimp.
No, but he has a pimped ass leather jacket, Colin.
You know what? I think he was wearing a Bad Brains jacket.
Yeah, it had Bad Brains logo. It had the DRI from back in the day, that logo. On the back was the Misfits. Horror is our business. I'm familiar with those Misfits. Yeah, Bad Brains was on there. What else? I think it had a Dead Kennedys logo on there. Yeah, he's going with some old school punk here. Good job by him. My brother would be proud. I like that jacket. But yes. The big news coming out of that is he hits the ring, beats the shit out of the Kushida once again, and as luck would have it, and to I'm sure Bushi's disappointment, we got a new member of LJI, kids. It's Takahashi.
Yeah, or formerly known as Kamaitachi, the newest member of LIJ.
I think it's a good fit. I think that's something that slides right in perfectly. He fits that mold.
You know what's funny too? Remember, I don't even remember what show this was at, but they teased having the fifth member of LIJ. Like they had somebody come out in a mask. Yeah, and then they kind of I thought that they scrapped that idea then because you never saw them then for the longest time. You never saw them come out with another masked villain.
Right.
So yeah. I had completely forgotten about the possibility of another LIJ member. So there you go. And yeah, I agree. It is a good fit. Another junior in the mix here. And I think it's kind of appropriate since he is going to be taking on Kushida at the Dome. You know, it's kind of, I think it's cool to have that, the guy on one end of the spectrum who's waving the New Japan flag, and then you've got the LIJ guy. So, I think that's appropriate.
Yeah, like I said, good for him. He's joining the hottest stable in all of pro wrestling. Again, the one guy who's got to be scratching his head a little bit is Bushi. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Bushi no longer an LJI member.
LIJ.
What did I say, LJI?
Yes, Los Japón de Ingobernables.
Israelites.
So there you go. But as far as the match, though, good match.
You like this match? I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was anything special.
How about those tights on Tanahashi? They're pretty cool, huh?
Listen, he's a stylish fucking guy. I said it last week. I don't want anybody working hard in these shows, Colin. I don't want anybody. Those four guys, I don't care if they put a beach chair in the middle of the ring and just lie there. I would not care. I'm not going to shit on them because to me, we got bigger fish to fry than this horseshit show. We got a big dome to fill. I want them healthy as horses. I don't want any bruises, bumps, batters, sprains, strains. I want it all taken care of. I want them to rest tranquilo, as they like to say. And don't do anything. Don't pick up anything heavy. I don't want them going to the grocery store and lifting bags.
Right. And if you have a large load of laundry, make two trips.
No. Yes. Bend with your knees. Right. I don't want anything strenuous. Listen, I can tell them about how not to do anything strenuous. I'm a fucking expert at it. Ask my wife. Good at it. All right.
All right. Moving on to our semi-main event of the evening here. We have the team of Kazuchika Okada and Tomohiro Ishii. That's a hell of a tag team right there. Taking on Kenny Omega and Hangman Page.
Which one doesn't belong in that fucking show?
You know what's funny?
Yeah.
One of our listeners. Now, I assume that this was a rib, but I got an email. It was a ballot that somebody cast, and in every single category, they only picked one nominee, and it was Hangman Page. Match of the year, anything with Hangman Page. Wrestler of the year, Hangman Page. Worst wrestler of the year, anyone but Hangman Page. I don't know if this person is going to send a real ballot or not, but
okay. All right. Was it signed Hangman Page's mother?
No. This was a fella.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, look.
I thought he looked okay in this match.
Me too. That was the point I was going to make. I thought I didn't think he was that bad in this match.
No,
I don't think he's that bad. Period. I just think it. Like I said, I don't.
You think it's more the gimmick than anything?
Yeah, I don't think he's a good fit for the gimmick. I think the gimmick is totally wrong for the guy. I mean, you're looking for Stan Hansen, and you got, you know, Ron Bass. it's just not what you expect from Adam Page. But I thought he did good in this match. I thought this was fine. Once again, Colin, I've said it 1,000 times, but I'm going to say it 1,001. Once again, man, I am so fucking excited for Omega and Okada and all these little tag matches. All they do is just make me salivate even more.
And this was another one of those cases where the real story was at the end of the match.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Okada picks up the win for his team, hitting the Rainmaker on Page, and then after the match, Omega comes in, nails him with the flying knee, hits the one-winged angel, and then poor Ghetto gets the knee and the one-winged angel as well. And it's funny, I think Omega even said, as he was walking back to the dressing room, he said, "See that, Okada? I killed your father." He said something like that.
Yeah, he said something to Ishii in the ring, too. He's like, "You think you had the match of the year? You didn't have the match of the year. I had the match of the year." I was a little worried because he had his goofy tights on.
He did.
When he wears his goofy tights.
His indie pro wrestling tights.
Yeah, he gets a little, you kind of feel like he's going to, it's kind of like when the Iron Sheik would wear the long, when he would wear the long tights, the one that's, you know, would say Iran on the side.
Yeah.
When he wore those, he always won because he could do the camel clutch and he could hike up the camel clutch. But when he wore like the regular, the Speedo-y tights, he always lost.
Yeah.
Watch that. Watch it back. So he had his comedy tights on. But no, Kenny Omega and Okada. I'm so excited, man.
This match is going to be like... It's got to be match of 2017 already.
And it hasn't even happened, yeah. Here's what has me excited. It's two guys at their physical peak, you know?
And something that you've never seen before, too.
Yeah. To a certain degree, you have. Like, I think...
A one-on-one match between Omega and Okada?
No. I thought you meant just two guys at their physical peak. They to my knowledge, and I'm trying to think back, like maybe there was like a random, like when Okada was before he signed with New Japan,
where he had the Green Lantern gimmick or whatever.
well, TNA, but even before that, I always mispronounce the name of the promoter, Toriman. When Okada was there, maybe. You know, Kenny was in DDT, and I'm thinking maybe possibly a spot show. I'd have to cage match that, but I listen, certainly not at this point in their careers and on this scale and this stage. No, it's gonna be great. I would be shocked if this wasn't a match of the year contender. And again, it hasn't even happened yet, but I'd be shocked. You know, well, listen, New Japan, you know, they're putting all their chips in on it. So, you know, I think they feel the same way. And hopefully we get some more fun in 2017 with Kenny Omega.
Yeah, I think there's a bright future for this Omega fella.
Yeah, I think he's got a future in this business, I think. I think good things are ahead for him.
All right, then now we arrive at the main event, which we did talk about extensively at the beginning of the broadcast, the World Tag League Final, the A-Block winners, the Guerrillas of Destiny, taking on the B-Block winners, GBH. What more can we say about this match, Damon? I would like to mention some of the spots that I really dug in this match. So they powerbombed Honma through a table on the outside. You know, this goes along with the smoke and mirrors that we were talking about. Yeah. So they powerbombed him on the outside, and then they're just hitting, you know, tandem move after tandem move on Makabe. And Makabe is just kicking out, showing that fighting spirit. That was one of the highlights of this match to me. They tried to do a gun stun out of nowhere spot where Makabe came off the top rope and Tama Tonga tried to catch him in the gun stun. It didn't, that could have looked better. That was kind of sloppy.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like there was a lot of times where things, you know, the idea of them hitting these moves and the premise of it was cool and the buildup was cool, but the execution was a little off. Right. I think there was a lot of that. There are a lot of, and again, I don't want to be nitpicky Damon, but like there were plenty of like kicks and shots and people being out of place and stumbles, you know, kicks and punches that had a lot of space between them.
Oh, speaking of which, I just have to jump backwards for a moment. Did you notice? It was in the Nakanishi match. Nakanishi, he tried to throw a kick to the midsection at Fale, and he just didn't connect with anything.
Yeah.
And Fale, like,
swing and a miss.
Fale almost, it was almost like he pondered whether or not he should sell it for right. a moment, and eventually he kind of did. It was like a half-hearted, like,
yeah.
Oh, you got me, right in the breadbasket.
Yeah, I did notice that.
Just had to mention that.
But hey, listen, they worked hard, but to me, yeah, there was a lot of sloppiness in the match. Would I give this 4 stars? I said off the air when we were talking about this, I don't know if I would give it 4, Colin.
This had moments though where I was kind of like, oh wow, this is, you know, it. They sucked me into this match more than I ever would have expected them to.
I think you had the first part of that sentence right. They sucked.
Hey.
Rest, dot, dot, dot. No, just John. Listen.
Let's give some credit where credit is due here.
Credit is due. I'm giving the credit where it is due. It was, to me, this was a sloppy match. To me, but it was, the sloppiness was more than made up for the fact that there was excitement for you know, from the 3,000 people in attendance. There were, as you'd like to call them, tandem moves that were impressive leading down the stretch. I think there were some smoke and mirrors that lended positively to the match. I don't think this was better than the Yoshihashi Ishii match. I don't think it was.
It certainly wasn't as good as the LIJ versus Goto and Ishii match.
No. Yeah, that was great. There were matches earlier in the tournament that I think definitely beat this match. Yeah, absolutely. I'm hard-pressed to give it 4, Colin, and I would say this is a very high 3. It does not crack the 4. I don't think I'm being stubborn because it's G.O.D. If G.O.D. has a great match, I'll be the first fucking person to tell you. I thought this was a good match. I don't think it was great.
So you're going to give this, like, 3 and 3/4 stars, let's say.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be in that. I it doesn't break the fours for me. It doesn't break the fours.
Hey, fair enough.
And now, listen, now we get to look forward to this match again.
Well, look forward to is a it's a very strong sentiment. But
yeah.
Do you think that their match at the Dome could even...
Nope.
Yeah, that's the thing, because you know, like, okay, let's take a look at this match. They gave them 26 minutes. They're not going to get that long at the Dome.
No, they're going to get
15 maybe.
No, I don't even think 15. This is a match that goes on before intermission. This is a 10-minute match in a cavernous Tokyo Dome. This place is not meant for pro wrestling, right? As Eric would describe it, it is the worst venue for pro wrestling in the history of pro wrestling. Like, sound just goes into space. So it's going to sound like, you know, nothing's going on.
Good concert venue, though.
Is it? I mean, are the acoustics good there for concerts?
From what I hear, I don't know. I'm just talking out my ass right now. Prince played there once.
Prince played there. Van Halen played there once.
Yeah, they recorded a live album there, actually.
Oh, have you heard that?
Yes, I have.
It's really fucking horrible.
It is.
Like David Lee Roth, I don't know what the fuck he was thinking during that. Like, it was like he's singing songs in like, this high pitched, just out of tune weirdness. Like, Spotify that. Like, listen, it's out there, kids. Just listen to the show. Like the songs that you know and love are just absolutely maimed and mauled by David Lee Roth singing in this just wacko style.
Yep, it's Van Halen Tokyo Dome live in concert. Check it out, kids, if you're a VH fan.
And even if you're not, like, even if you're not, you'll just be like, what in the fuck is this? Like, he's like, Unchained, Be Without Running. Like Ethel Merman fucking singing.
Maybe you should be the new Van Halen singer.
Imagine me in a pair of chaps, huh?
I'm going to have some nightmares tonight.
There you go. All
right. So that is your World Tag League main event, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Damon, okay, so Maccabi, just one final thought about this tag match that we're going to see at the Dome.
Yes.
Okay, so Holma and Maccabi, do you see them picking up the victory here? And if they do... kind of like the Goto thing that I was talking about earlier. Okay, so what?
Yeah.
So GBH is, you know, they win the World Tag League 2 years in a row. They become the first team to do that. And they win the IWGP tag titles again at the Dome. All right. Great.
Yeah. You nailed it. And again, that's why I think there's disappointment in the fandom that it's not Goto and Ishii. To me, Goto and Ishii could spark things up. I don't think GBH is a spark.
And the fact that it's Holma, doesn't matter anymore, because I think last year there was that feeling of, oh wow, Holma, this guy could actually win a title. He could hold a title. That's gone. So you don't even have that anymore. What do you have with this match other than, okay, here's our tag title match to fill time. Here we go.
You nailed it. That's exactly what it is. And you're right. The year prior, you know, you were kind of hoping Honma would, you know, get some gold. And plus you were getting the belts off of Anderson and Gallows, right? So, you know, anything would be good at that point. You know, people were just salivating to have those two clowns out of the picture. Yeah, this is going to be a 5-8, no more than 10. There's no possible way they give us more than 10 minutes. Time suck. Yeah, this will be a match where I go get a beer. How about that?
And I'm sure you will get many a beer.
Oh, I'll have plenty. We got our tickets, by the way. We are section. We're not in the golden circle, right? So we're figuring there's probably 5 rows ahead of us. But we are row 6, so we're guesstimating. We're probably
so you're on the floor.
We're on the floor. About we're guesstimating eight rows back. But the Tokyo Dome has that huge area at ringside that's open. So we figure we'll be about a mile from the ring. But yes, we got that. Oh, and I sold the dash. Yes, I did, to our good listener, Monty in San Diego, who's also heading out to Wrestle Kingdom. So yeah, he'll be sitting in some nice prime golden circle seats. So enjoy those. We will meet up there. So
do you know that that's Billy Gunn's real name, by the way?
Golden Circle?
No, it is Monty.
Hey, that is correct. Yes, yes.
Monty Kip Sop, I think.
Israelite. All right, very good.
Now, Damon, you were at the ROH TV tapings last week.
You can't prove that. Oh, yes, I have an alibi.
Actually, I can prove that.
Yeah, you can. I was there, yes.
I have to ask you about one match in particular, and I believe it was the triple threat match, right?
Yeah, so...
I heard that this match... Now, they did have a triple threat match at Final Battle with Skrull and Ospreay and Dragon Lee. I heard that the match that you saw was even better than that match.
Huh. It was good. I don't know if it was better than that. To me, it felt... Sure. It looked to me like Ospreay fucked up his ear.
Oh, no.
I don't know if it was a cut or he busted his eardrum, but he was bleeding from the ear. And they kind of went to the finish kind of quick after that. No, I don't know if it was better. I don't know if it was better. It was good.
Now, who are the participants? Ospreay?
Ospreay, Kushida, Dragon Lee.
Sounds like a hell of a match.
I mean, look, on paper, I was super excited. Now, this was the last match after a 5-hour long television taping, Colin. I was,
wow.
There were points where I think I fell asleep during parts of this show. It was too long. I was dying.
They need to spread these out over a few days.
It was brutal. Like, it just felt like it went on forever. There really wasn't a lot of great things coming out of it. Young Bucks had a decent match. I want to say it was with Christopher Daniels, Kazarian was involved
in
it.
The Addiction.
It was okay.
The Israelites.
The Israelites. but the match was good. It just felt like it was short. I wish it would have went longer. Yeah, it was good. It was a good match. I don't want to shit on it. I don't know if it was better than the one night before, but it was a good match. It was fine.
All righty, there you go. Damon McDonald's thoughts on the triple threat match.
I mean, I wish it was better, but I can't lie. I can't sit here and say that it was match of the year. It wasn't even close. But it was good. It wasn't great. It sounded better on paper. It was, I don't know, and again, maybe it was because Ospreay got hurt. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that, but it wasn't blow away great.
Alrighty, so we are about ready to wrap up today's show, but just to go over our schedule here, we've got the two Road to Tokyo Dome shows coming up on NJPWWorld.com. Friday and Saturday. So the 16th and the 17th are the two Korakuen shows. Mm-hmm. So that is what we are going to be talking about here next week on the Purocast. Damon, anything else that you would like to add today?
Well, I think those two shows are going to be stellar because they always are. They're always fun. Get your votes in, kids. 15th is right around the corner. It's the 10th right now. That means you have 20 days to get your vote. No, that means five. Right? Get your votes in. You know you want to do it. You know you want to be involved. If you haven't done so already, do so now. Get it taken care of. Get it in. This is our busiest time of the year. So between the holidays and Wrestle Kingdom and all the shows that lead up and our year-end awards, it's going to be busy.
And plus, Damon has to travel around the world with toys on his... Slay.
What are you saying? You're calling me Saint Nicholas, you son of a bitch. I thought you meant on a plane to fucking Tokyo again.
Well, that too.
Yeah, I got to do that. So, I'm looking into the award. That's still a work in progress, but I think we're going to be able to do that. My schedule for this Tokyo, my God, we're going to meet up with Joe Doering. We're going to meet up with some Japanese press.
Ah.
I don't know if you saw in the Observer the more story about Matt Seidel.
I heard rumors that somebody actually ratted him out.
Yeah. Well, the person who told Meltzer that, I'm having lunch with.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. We're having lunch. So that should be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Hope they catch that rat, by the way.
It was you, wasn't it?
Yeah, that guy would.
You dived him out.
I'm gonna rat Billy Gunn out.
That is kind of shitty, actually. If you think about it, like,
yeah,
that's
see?
that's like jilted girlfriend kind of shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's like somebody was pretty pissed off. Somebody was pretty pissed off.
From our understanding, though, Matt Seidel is going to be, I don't know if he's home right now, but he will be returning home safe and sound.
Yeah, but he spent a month in a Japanese prison, for Christ's sake.
He could probably write a book.
I can't imagine. What would a Japanese prison be like as an American? That's, that sucks. But, okay, that's, we beat that horse to death. Those are my final thoughts. Get your votes in. We have a very busy schedule, but it's going to be a fun ride leading up to Wrestle Kingdom.
All righty, so there you have it, folks. Once again, thank all of you for tuning in each and every week to the New Japan Purocast. We really appreciate it. Keep on sending your votes in. Remember, you have until December 15th, Thursday, at midnight Eastern time to cast your ballot. Go to NewJapanPurocast.com. That is your one-stop shop for all things Purocast. Links to all social media on there. Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, our RSS feed. And you can also listen to us on the Great Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We're usually up there each and every Monday afternoon. And that is all for this week. But we are going to be back same time next weekend to talk all about these two upcoming Road to the Tokyo Dome shows that are taking place on the 16th and the 17th. So on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys down the road later.